Hey, for what it's worth, I threw the question out on Twitter. Have the 2002 Western Conference Finals t-shirt, but I wore it underneath this today because I wasn't sure if it's appropriate, and the consensus is, yeah. So I'm glad I wore it. At some point, I'll have to bust it out here. It's not the most pleasant memories, but I think it boils down to kind of unfinished business. You know, Jay, 2002, we'll never forget. Right,
and I don't even want to talk about it, to be completely honest. I don't even want to mention it.
Kyle Draper, of course, in Los Angeles, he says LeBron has already been out working out, but apparently that's the way LeBron does it these days.
Yeah, and he's already done. And, you know, some of the guys here that are setting up shop here, some of the engineers and everything, they say he usually goes a little longer and works up a sweat, a lather. He cut it short a little bit, you know, seemed to be moving fine, but he's already in the back right now. And so at last check, he's questionable, but I'm not sure. I mean, he didn't wince or anything like that. So I fully expect him to play. I mean, I think LeBron understands that this time of year, it's time to step up. And especially we talked about earlier, the standings, this is a huge game. If you're the Lakers, you win this one, you go to a half game behind Sacramento.
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Man, that's massive in the Western Conference. Now, if you lose this game, you're 2.5 back. And so I think he's going to go tonight.
Yeah, I don't pretend to know exactly how the Lakers feel about the game or what they're saying to each other about this, but some in L.A. are saying, I mean, I even read some today about how this is a must-win for the Lakers because of the reasons you just detailed. Also, you got the fact that the Kings won the first two games against L.A., this year, and you've got, you know, this West is so jumbled. Certainly there are tiebreaker possibilities, and then the Kings would have the tiebreaker if they win tonight. So this is, I'd be surprised too if LeBron doesn't play. If he doesn't play, that would suggest that he's really got an issue.
Yeah, and if he doesn't play, is that good for Sacramento? I don't know, with the way this Kings team plays.
Think about it, though.
No, I'm just saying. Like, if you're Fox, Sabonis, all those guys, you're getting ready for today's game, you're playing the Lakers, yeah, we get to go against LeBron. You know, you get geeked up, and then you come to the arena and find out he's not playing. You know, it might be a little bit of a letdown. So I want LeBron to play tonight.
Why do you think the Kings have not played well against shorthanded teams?
I think it's a number of different reasons. Obviously, you don't take them as serious. It's hard to get up for them. I think what we saw against the Chicago team was a little bit different because they did get up for Chicago. They had the lead. They had the game in hand, and it collapsed. So I don't think they didn't come into it with a lack of respect for the Bulls. I do think that in the NBA, and we saw it last night, Dean Wade, once a guy gets going, it is hard to turn him off. And the problem was the Bulls had two or three guys going feeling confident. And so I put what we saw last night in a different category than a loss to Charlotte or to Portland. Like, you walk in and – you immediately think you're better than those teams. They don't have their stars. Like, the Bulls still had Kobe White at 26 last time we played them. So it wasn't like, you know, they were taking Kobe White lightly.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan, future Hall of Famer. Vucevic, a former All-Star. And so I felt like this was a different reason than some of those other ones.
I'm sure there's something to what you said about how the Kings have a tendency to not maybe take the opponent as seriously as they should when the opponent is shorthanded. But I've been thinking about this and thinking about this because, you know, it doesn't quite make sense. You would think that if that happened once or twice, these guys are smart, they're competitive, they want to win, they would learn. That lesson would be learned. So it makes me think there's something more to it. And I think in addition to that, it's comes down to the fact that the Kings defensively, I know we keep saying this, but look, there's no avoiding it. They're really poor defensively, and they've been trending in the wrong direction. And it doesn't matter how good another team is. If they have one or two guys that are bad matchups for you when you're a bad defensive team, you're in for a long night. And I think it has a lot to do with that.
And every NBA team has guys that can get a bucket. You know, they got every NBA team has two or three or four guys that on any given night can get 40.
Well, remember T.J. McConnell when the Pacers made that trade and they didn't have Haliburton. They didn't have their team, but T.J. McConnell just dominated the game.
And, you know, I do think the word is out, Whitey, and we've talked about it time and time again. Teams know, the Sacramento Kings will, you know, there will be little to no resistance.
Yeah.
Even if you get down early, don't panic. Mm-hmm. They'll let you in the game. And so I do think, you know, the Kings have that reputation right now. I mean, it's happened too many times not to. And so, like, the fact that, sure, they had a 20-point lead in the second half, third quarter, but what happened to the big lead in the first quarter that they had that evaporated, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think when you look at this Kings team, what's the issue with building leads and you being unable to hold on to them? Mm-hmm. Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee, like we could name, you know, Miami, so many different games where the Kings, Denver even, remember the game last week in Denver, the Kings came out fired up, and I know it was without De'Aaron Fox, you know, but how can they get up so early? So it's not necessarily a lack of respect going in, but maybe you let your foot off the gas, and just like that in the NBA, it could change.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Casey has been patiently hanging on. Casey, thanks for hanging. You're with the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I got three or four quick points I want to make. One, you're talking about Harrison Barnes, and I called in a couple of months ago, and I was just railing you drapes on Harrison Barnes. And the reason – I've thought about it, and the reason is because he's so good, but he's so inconsistent, and that's the problem with Harrison Barnes. He shows such shining moments, but then he's got 12 games with 5 points or less. And someone with Harrison Barnes' talent should never score less than 5 points in the game. That's just my opinion, and I think that's why fans get so frustrated with him. But overall, like you said, he's dependable. He's the fifth option, so you know he's not the reason that we're losing games that we shouldn't be losing. But he is frustrating at some point, so I just wanted to mention that. But also, to me, the main problem is the roster construction. We knew going into the season that we didn't have the wings that we needed to have on the team. We know that we were going after some guys. We don't know, obviously, exactly who, but anybody would have been better than nothing because we basically just ran it back hoping to make the same thing better. And you can't ask Mike Brown to turn the same team into a better team with no additional talent. And then we had another chance at the trade deadline, and I think for the third year in a row we got cash considerations. And to me, as a fan, seeing the team just get a chunk of money and our team not getting better, that's a big problem for me. Last thing I wanted to say was Drapes. I heard there was a guy tonight. He said he's going to be at the game. His name's Steve Balboni. He said he's gonna come up to you at halftime. He's got a case of Kirkland golf balls for you. so be looking for Steve Balboni.
Okay, all right.
Bye bye Balboni.
I'll have to throw him
thanks,
in my carry on luggage. Thanks so much, Casey.
Don't lose him.
I was gonna say all you're gonna do is forget him.
Right. Oh my gosh, the Kirkland golf balls. You know what? I'm gonna play around with Kirkland golf balls, and I will report back to you guys on how they fare, how they perform.
Yeah. You know what you should do if they win tonight, and we know they're going to win, you just go around afterwards on the plane, and all the players go, hey, Drapes is nice job. Here you go. Here's some Kirklands.
Right. I might do that, like the player of the game or something.
Yeah.
Here you go. You get a Kirkland golf ball signed by Drapes or something like that. That'd be funny. Oh, my gosh.
The one thing that Casey said that I disagree with, and he made some great points. He said, as far as a roster, and we all agree, I think Monty knows, everybody knows, but here they are with this roster. Yeah. He said anybody would have been better than nobody, and I don't agree with that. You know, and some people may disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
They should have got anybody. Well, depending on who it was, you know, there's some guys that they saw as real fits here. We're not sure who those guys were. We know Siakam was one. So if there was a guy out there available that was a fit with you, with your team, with your plan, great. But, okay, we'll go get somebody else. I'll just use Kuzma as an example. And maybe I'm wrong, but to me, going out and getting a guy like Kuzma that is not a good fit well, he's not a good fit, but you know what? We're different than we would be without him. But then you give up future assets to get a guy that's not a good fit. I appreciate the more methodical approach. Assuming that something eventually gets done, I just don't agree that anybody was better than nobody because you're still actually fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and you don't want to make a mistake. And
that's it.
Bring somebody in, upset chemistry, big contract or whatever.
Right.
And the thing about it too, Whitey, is like we know that an effort was made, right? It wasn't for lack of trying, you know? I mean, you mentioned it, and we've talked about Siakam and the Shams report and everything like that. Monty swung, and he swung at a pretty big fish. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we want to blame him for that or, you know, criticize him, okay. But you get another crack at it in the offseason. And so my thing is, what about the buyout market? What about Marcus Morris Sr.? What about – how come Patty Mills couldn't have been a guy for us? I'm just throwing names out there right now. I would love Marcus Morris. But what about Patty Mills? How come he couldn't have been a guy? And so, yes, you don't do anything at the trade deadline, but maybe a tweak at the buyout market?
Right.
I don't know.
The potential problem with that, as you well know, is that those guys are basically free agents, and if they don't want to come here – There's nothing you can try all you want.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's up to them.
Yeah. And we don't know if they tried or not. Like, maybe they did. And like you said, Patty decided to go elsewhere. So,
would you go to Miami or Sacramento, you know, this time of year? Right.
You're not asking me that, right? I'm not answering that question.
Just theoretically. Yeah. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Aaron Larsoul from an official Lakers podcast. So we'll get the word from L.A. there. When we come right back, we'll ask you this question, Drace. We talked about it a lot yesterday. Are the Kings too reliant on the three ball? Next with the Drive Guys on Sac. Want to circle back to something we touched on yesterday because Drapes flying with the team was not able to join the conversation. We know that late in the game you had Trey Lyles passing up a three-pointer or two. And we know after the game that Mike Brown said, we got to shoot those. That's our game plan. You can't deviate from the game plan. Trey Lyles, on the other hand, was 1-for-6 in the game. Frankie had these numbers. Sacramento from the three-point line when shooting a 35% or better from the three-point line, they're 27-9. When they shoot under 35% from the three-point line, they're 7-17. So it comes down to this question, Drapes. We've asked it before. We'll ask it again after that collapse against the Bulls. Are the Kings too reliant on the three-point shot?
I don't think so. And this is why. I think when you look at the personnel, this is who they are. Were they too reliant on the three-point shot last year, Whitey? It's the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Same team.
But different results.
Different. But I mentioned it 2 hours ago. And people, if you weren't listening to the show, you ask any coach in the league, you don't let the result dictate the process. And so if Kevin Huerter gets a wide open look at from three and misses it, are you going to say, oh, well, he should have taken it to the hoop? No. You run your offense to get the best possible shot for your offense that you think. And this team thinks open threes, and they aren't the only one. Look at every team in the NBA, outside of maybe like OKC or San Antonio. But every team pretty much, their mission. Shoot, we saw it the other day with Chicago. When Javon Carter in the game last week or 2 weeks ago had a wide open layup, passed it out to shoot a three. Because that's what these guys are trained. That's what these guys are taught. That's their offense. And so if you want to say the Kings are too reliant on the three, I'll say every team is too reliant on the three. Look at Boston. They get them up more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't say the Kings aren't a good three-point shooting team or don't have good three-point shooters. Like, the three ball is the one thing we should be able to do with Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray. It's some of the other stuff offensively, I think, where we have a deficiency. I would like to look at our numbers finishing in the paint around the rim. Like, I look at De'Aaron Fox's numbers finishing. His numbers are down. And that's the problem, Whitey. Keegan set a rookie record. Kevin Huerter had his best season ever from three. Like, and so guys aren't shooting at the same clip last season, like this season, as they did last season.
To me, the problem isn't necessarily that they rely on the three too much. It's that they don't have, if you pardon my clumsy baseball analogy, they need another pitch. It's like, yeah, you're gonna rely on the fastball. Let's say the three-point shot. You know, you're gonna throw your fastball no matter. You're gonna throw it, and everything works off of that. But it'd be nice if sometimes you had another secondary pitch, or in this case, something you can go to, because too often when they're not making threes, the offense just stops, which is incredible in this offense that's supposed to be based on, you know, player movement, ball movement, like Sane always says. And you get a few misses, and all of a sudden you got people. I mean, it's not uncommon, right, Kyle, to watch the Kings and see guys standing. It's like there's a ball. Right. Domas wants the ball. There's guys on the weak side standing, and there's no movement. You end up with bad threes. So, okay, yeah, I get it. You want to shoot threes, but I still think the offense can be more efficient in getting you those threes, and also I think getting you other shots when the threes aren't falling.
Well, yeah, you know, but I also think, too, when you look at it, like let's say we want to change the offense or diversify it, or like you said, have another pitch, have a second option for a pitch. A lot of teams run pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think our guards outside of Malik Monk are great at running the pick and roll, you know? Like, Malik is fantastic.
We've seen De'Aaron Fox should be better at it, shouldn't he? Let's be honest.
Yeah, he should be. Yeah. Or maybe we don't see it enough or something like that. But outside of those two guys, we don't have pick-and-roll guys. You know, we don't have – like, is Domas a great pick-and-roll big man? I don't know. I don't see it enough. And so I think, to your point, our offense is too one-dimensional. And that's why I said – and, you know, Jay, we've talked about this. All right, so when the offense bogs down, what else do you have? Who else can you turn to? That's why you go out there and get a Zach LaVine. That's why you go out there and get somebody that can create their own shot, especially late in shot clocks, too. I mean, I think that's where the Kings are lacking when you talk about offense right now. We don't have enough guys that can, quote, unquote, get in their bag, cook. I look at Phoenix. Let's talk about Phoenix.
They got some. They got some options.
They got tons. Like I'm gonna look at their. I'm gonna list their roster right now. Grayson Allen could get in his bag. He could even do dipsy do and get to the bucket. Grayson Allen, Brad Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant. I'm gonna even throw Eric Gordon in there.
Yeah.
Like they
Shooter.
Got five or six guys that can put it on the deck, get to the basket. We only got maybe two. You know, I'm talking Malik and De'Aaron, you know, on a consistent, like Keegan's trying to do it, shown a little bit, but he's not consistent with it. And so I think that's where we're missing, you know, and we saw it during the Warriors series, right? Warriors took away our first option offensively, what we wanted to do. We just didn't have anything else to go to. I will say this, though, Whitey, and I don't have the numbers to back it up, but I thought to start the season – we saw glimpses, some different plays that Jay Triano and company put in, a little more pick and roll. And now it seems like we've sort of resorted back to what last season was. Give it to Domas at the free throw line or at the nail or whatever, and then run all our action off him. And then when Malik comes, we'll do a little more pick and roll. It's you know, we got to diversify it a little bit.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's get to Steven quickly here on Sacktown Sports. What's up, Steven?
Not much, man. I hope you guys have a good call, especially you tonight. Kyle, I don't know if you're doing pregame, postgame, or you're doing the actual call. But, man, you got to stay out of L.A., brother. You know what I'm saying? You'd be losing everything in L.A., and I just don't get it, man. It was the iPad today. It was your wallet last time. Your social, your Costco card, man, you're losing your life. You got to get your stuff together, my friend. Come on, man. This is Boston's best right here, my guy. And you're like, out here. Oh. I'm sorry, Philadelphia's best out here. And you're out here losing stuff like you Like you can't, like you don't got a tile or something. You know what I mean? Where's your Apple tag at? You know what I mean? But hey,
you know what? Good call, man.
I'm calling just to bust your balls, man. That's all.
Of course you are. Yeah. All right, Steven. I will say this though, Whitey. Steven's right. I got to get myself together.
I like that he's holding you accountable. Yeah.
It'd be different if I came to L.A. and I was on a bender, got caught up somewhere with some girls or caught up at the club or something. I'm not doing any of that and I'm losing all my stuff.
Right.
I'm doing wholesome family activities. I'm renting an e-bike, biking along the beach.
Riding a plane and you lose
something. Riding a plane.
Yeah.
Something we all do.
Uh-huh.
But it'd be different if I was out running them streets and I lost it. Then that's a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just – I got to get my focus back, man.
Yeah.
I'm not focused.
Thank you, Steven, for holding Drapes accountable. We've got to hold each other accountable here. What really are we doing?
Yeah. Real quick, I looked at the text line here. Somebody 916, Kyle can put the golf balls next to his wallet so he doesn't forget them.
Wow.
And Alan said that. It's like – dude – see, this is the problem with sharing your personal life here on the radio, Whitey, because people will feel like they know you so they can bust your chops a little bit. You know, I'm about to turn on them here,
it's
man.
It's funny at first, huh?
At first, right. But now, like, I told the Wallace story a week and a half ago, and we're still on this thing. Somebody at the game came up to me the other day, one of the security guards. He's like, any word on your wallet yet? I'm like, oh, my God.
You tell me you're a security guard. Why haven't
you
found
it?
Yeah.
Inspector Gadget over here. Why don't you help me out, you know?
Yeah. Coming up, we're going to talk to Aaron Larsoul from L.A., from a Lakers podcast. We'll see if he's found anything that at one point belonged to Kyle laying around in L.A. Next, here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. With the Kings in L.A. taking on the Lakers tonight, I have to admit I wasn't sure whether this shirt was appropriate. Western Conference Finals 2002. In fact, I had another shirt on. Then I decided, I can't wear this. Then I put this on, but I have the other shirt over it. So on Twitter, I've been asking Kings fans, is it okay to wear this today? And for the most part, thumbs up. In fact, former Kings trainer, legendary trainer
Pete
Youngman said, he said, always appropriate, Whitey. So I'm going with it here. Kyle Draper in L.A.
I see you strip real quick. Before you go to Aaron, I see you stripped it off.
That's right. I want to make sure Aaron got a look at it. Joining us now, host of official Lakers podcast, Y'all Access Lakers from Los Angeles, Aaron Larsoul with us. Aaron, how are you today?
Well, better than I deserve, boys. Thank you. How y'all doing?
We're doing fine, and I'm hoping that we get a little bit of the electricity. Obviously, it's asking a lot to expect it to be like the old days, but it does feel a little bit like the old Lakers-Kings days tonight, doesn't it?
So it does. I'm actually in the car on the way to the former Staples Center now, and it does. This feels like a big game. Last year was the first year that all five teams from California had ever made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and with the playoff, play-in positioning with the Kings and Warriors and Lakers. So it's kind of fun in California now. So this does feel like, I don't know about the old days, the C-Web and
right.
Asia days. We don't have that kind of juice yet. But as far as regular season games go, this one matters.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I was watching LeBron. I'm here at the arena right now, and I was watching LeBron go through his pregame warm-up. Any inclination on if he's going to give it a go tonight? Is it just a precaution that he was listed as questionable, knowing the magnitude of this game? What do you think about LeBron tonight?
Yeah, LeBron's playing. LeBron and AD, I think both have been listed as questionable for maybe 30 games or so. But I would be shocked. You're in the arena. I'm not there quite yet, so I haven't had a chance to go check in with some of my people in person. But I've been talking to people all day. I would be very, very, very surprised if LeBron does not play tonight. First, for one of the reasons you mentioned, right? It's obviously it's a big game. I mentioned the play-in positioning. But, you know, for the Kings and for the Lakers, there's still a chance to get out of the play-in. Obviously, the Kings are ahead, so there's a better chance for the Kings. But the Lakers are still in a mode where trying to get to that 7-8 should be the worst case scenario, you hope, for 7-8 for both the Kings and the Lakers. But the Lakers are focused on trying to get out of the play-in, as I'm sure the Kings are. So I would be very surprised if LeBron does not play tonight. He's had all sorts of nicks and bangs and whatever, but LeBron and AD both have been listed as questionable for months now, so I expect LeBron to play.
That's Aaron Larsoul from the All Access Lakers podcast. Aaron, one thing we know about the Kings this year is that we don't really know anything. Every time we think we know something about the team, it's like, whoop, I guess not. It looks like the Kings.
Beat the Clippers, the Nuggets, lose to the Bulls,
Yeah, so it looks like, based on what we've seen this year, that the Kings match up pretty well with the Lakers. Why do you think that is?
So the thing, I think it's two things, and it's related to both of your best players. The Lakers, one of the weaknesses of this Lakers team is perimeter defenders. Some of that is because our on-ball defense. Some of that is because Jared Vanderbilt has been in and out of the lineup. He's currently out. Gabe Vincent, who was another guy who was kind of going to be tasked with that, has only played a few games this year. So I would expect, and as we've seen already this year, De'Aaron Fox should be able to have his way with whoever is in front of him tonight. I think Cam Reddish will get a shot at him. My guess is the first shot at him will be Austin Reeves, and then Cam Reddish will have a shot at him. You may get a little Max Christie, but look, frankly, none of those guys are equipped to guard De'Aaron Fox. He's one of the best players in the league, one of the quickest first steps. So I think that's part of it. And the physicality that Sabonis plays with has, at times, given AD some problems. And AD is obviously a better player than Sabonis, but the way in which AD plays, AD has had some trouble with guys kind of physical that are willing to just go through his chest, and Sabonis is one of those guys. So I think those are the two reasons that Sacramento has had, you know, for a couple of years now, had some real success against the Lakers.
Yeah, Aaron, you know, last time out these two teams played, Anthony Davis was non-existent, 9 points, 9 rebounds, like really a pedestrian night for him. When you look at this Lakers team, I'm watching Spencer Dinwiddie warm up now. Who would you say is the X factor for this team? When things are going well, who's clicking? We know about LeBron and AD, the stars, but who's that third guy?
Yeah, so going into the year, everybody thought that the third guy was Austin Reeves. And Austin's had kind of an up-and-down season, better recently. But Austin has been kind of steady. The guy that I think is the X factor, to answer your question, is D'Angelo Russell. He's probably the third most talented guy on the team. And he was pretty bad to start the season, got benched back in the starting lineup a couple months ago, and had a huge stretch before the All-Star break. There was obviously the rumors about him getting traded. He did not get traded. But he is the one dude that can, as he did in the Lakers' last game on Monday against OKC, there was a time in the fourth quarter that LeBron was deferring to him because D'Lo was cooking in a way that LeBron said, all right, man, you go ahead. Wow. So I think the X factor is D'Angelo Russell. The issue, though, is if him and Rui Hachimura, if they're not scoring, their games can kind of get away from them because they can forget to do the other thing. So, yeah. So I think the two X factors, I would put D'Lo number one and then Rui Hachimura number two, because those are two guys that the rest of their game, their focus on defense, their aggressiveness for Rui attacking the board kind of comes and goes with how they're scoring the ball.
Catching up with Aaron Larsoul from the All Access Lakers pod. We know that the Kings have beaten the Lakers twice this year, but that was a long time ago. We're talking literally October, November. So how different is this Laker team from the one that the Kings took down twice much, much earlier in the season?
So very different. And you know, people in Lakerland, Lakers fans, are not thrilled with the job that Darvin Ham has done. I think Darvin's shouldering a little bit too much of the blame, but Lakers fans, if you go on Twitter, NBA Twitter is a real thing. Lakers Twitter is a real thing. If you go on Twitter, as I'm sure a bunch of your Kings fans know and interact with Lakers fans, Darvin is not well-liked among the fan base. At the beginning of the year, it was benching Austin, benching D'Lo, and playing Torian Prince a lot, but that now has kind of subsided some. So since the Lakers have started their best five guys available, which is D'Lo, Austin, Rui Hachimura, LeBron, and AD, the Lakers have been really good. They were 9-3 in February, just beat OKC a couple nights ago. So this is a very different team. It is a team that does not hang its hat on defense in the ways that it used to. This is a more of an offensive lineup. Frankly, you're not going to, as I alluded to earlier with, you know, having to check De'Aaron Fox, this is with those two guys, D'Lo and Austin, on the perimeter. Austin's going to fight. D'Lo's just not very good. Like, you're going to have, the Lakers are going to have trouble guarding De'Aaron Fox tonight.
Drawn by.
So, but this is much more of an offensive focus group. So the Lakers kind of flip-flop. The Lakers were a pretty abysmal offense and a really good defense earlier in the year, when, as you mentioned, against the Kings earlier. This is a much more offensive team, and this is a team that, that the Kings should be able to attack defensively, but the Kings are going to also have trouble guarding.
Joined by Aaron Larso of All Access Lakers. Big A, we've been having a little legacy talk around here lately. We, you know, of course, we're talking to the Jordan and the LeBron, and, you, of course, LeBron having 40,000 points. But I want to ask you a question about, this is something I've seen, you know, as of late, and, of course, you got the Magics, the Kareems, the Shaqs, the Kobe statues, those type of things. Do you think LeBron's earned a statue in Los Angeles yet?
You know, I just had this conversation. So, JJ, you and I go back a long way. So, you know, I didn't grow up a Lakers fan. I didn't grow up in L.A. I grew up in San Francisco. And so I come at it from a different perspective. A lot of Lakers fans, and I just had this conversation with one yesterday or the day before, they're not with it. They think for LeBron to get that statue, he needs another title, another chip. Mm. I do expect LeBron to – what I expect is LeBron's going to opt out and then sign another 2-year deal with the Lakers. That is my that is my working hypothesis right now. So he's got 6 years with the Lakers. This is his 6th year with the Lakers. So 2, and then maybe after that, because LeBron doesn't look like he's slowing down much. You know, if he plays 8 years with the Lakers, you win a title, you pass Kareem at Crypto.com Arena, and then you get to 40,000 also at Crypto. And whatever the rest of his Lakers tenure brings, I think he deserves it. He's LeBron James. In my opinion, he's the GOAT, and I don't think it's particularly close anymore. So dang. I think that deserves, at minimum, his number up in the rafters. But I think a statue is, I mean, look.
Don't forget the in-season tournament. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. There's no ring there, but there actually was a pendant, by the way. There was an in-season tournament championship pendant. And there's a little baby banner hanging up in Crypto also. So yeah, Lakers fans, because he feels like or felt like an imposter to them, or that he was usurping Kobe in some way, because Kobe was a lifetime Laker. I think Lakers fans are kind of divided on that. But to me, I think it's LeBron, right? And so I think him winning that title with the Lakers, to me, means he should get his jersey at minimum and probably a statue also.
Aaron Larsoul, thank you so much. We appreciate your insight. Enjoy the game. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Anytime, fellas.
Thank you. How about this for a statue? What do you guys think of this? A statue for LeBron. He's driving, or I guess he'd be going up for, you know, that kind of that signature dunk. But instead of a basketball, because of that, you know, the circumstances under which the Lakers won that title, he could be holding like an asterisk. Wouldn't that be a great?
Ooh.
You like that, Jay? He's shooting, but instead of a ball, it's like he's got the asterisk there.
That'd be messed up.
Drakes, I saw you looking up, man. Have you spotted the small banner yet?
Yeah, I see the in-season tournament banner. Yeah,
take
I
a
see
picture
right
for
there.
Us.
I'll take a picture. We can throw it up on the Sacktown Sports 1140 site, Twitter site.
See if you can get anyone to show you their in-season tournament pendant, too.
Right? Pendant. I'm going to send it to you guys. This is
awesome. Thank you. Why isn't anybody talking about what KG said about LeBron? We'll take a look at that when we come right back here. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
It's a showdown in Los Angeles.
Malik Monk drives inside. He draws a foul and scores. Somehow he was able to contort his body and reach around Anthony Davis.
The Kings battle LeBron, AD, and the Lakers tonight. Coverage begins with Game Night at 6 on your home of the Kings.
Sacktown Sports and SacktownSports.com.
Sacramento weather is brought to you by Bonnie.
I'm Mark Finan in the KCRA3 Weather Center. We'll keep a lot of clouds in the area during the night tonight. Overnight lows will drop into the mid-40s. properties. Tomorrow, look for clearing. Should be a nice-looking afternoon with highs in the mid-60s. Get the latest forecast on the KCRA News and the KCRA 3 app.
When it's chilly cold at night, don't just add another blanket. Add a new furnace system instead. Now for as low as $5,999 with 0% interest and no payments for 18 months. Bonnie.com. Some restrictions apply. License 696-355.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
Welcome to the President's Day Sale, happening now at Northern California's number one Honda dealer, Stockton Honda. Celebrate with us and get huge savings on our giant selection. Whether you're shopping new or pre-owned, Stockton Honda has the selection and savings. Plus, get top dollar for your trade.
Anytime, anywhere, it's all here. StocktonHonda.com.
Number one claims based on 2023 total new and Honda certified pre-owned vehicle car sales from American Honda Motor Company's L1 report.
Hello, Sacramento. I'm Emran Pilati, owner of True Sports Cards and Collectibles Store here in Rockland, California, and the host of the True Sports Cards Show that airs right here on Sactown Sports 1140 every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m., where we discuss the latest trends, hottest products, and deliver exclusive interviews with other industry leaders. And don't forget to visit our shop, True Sports Cards, at 6661 Stanford Ranch Road in Rockland and see what we have for all your sports card and memorabilia needs.
Hey, it's Carmichael Dave for American Energy Heating and Air with a question. Have you recently had a technician diagnose your HVAC system and you were a bit surprised at how much it cost? Or did something seem off about their quote? Because at American Energy, they take pride in giving you honest, straightforward solutions to get that system up and running. Have their qualified technicians come out and give you a free second opinion. It's free. You got nothing to lose but some dollars off of that original quote. They're making the uncomfortable comfortable. They've been doing it since 1981, serving the greater Sacramento area, A+ with the Better Business Bureau. That's why they keep having customers coming back for more and more and more. You can call them and set that appointment at 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com.
Call 916-520-9990 now.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Drapes, Kyle Draper. As the proud sponsor of the Sacramento Kings Mop Crew, Alsco Uniforms offers certified hygienically clean lab coats, scrubs, bed linens, towels, floor mats, and an array of mops tailored for your healthcare facility. Our services include convenient delivery to your doorstep. Leading the way in healthcare laundry services in Northern California, discover why it pays to keep clean with Alsco Uniforms. Go to alsco.com to learn more. Again, that's alsco.com.
Discover your dream home at Subcontractors United, your source for all home improvement needs. A talented team of home services experts is ready to make your projects a breeze. No more endless internet searches. Find your contractors in one place. Enjoy stress-free service absolutely free, with no hidden costs and no accounts to set up. Transform your living space into something extraordinary. Visit Subcontractors United today and experience the joy of hassle-free home improvement. Dream big at subcontractorsunited.com.
Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Don't give it away tonight, Kings. It's Drive Guys here on Sactown Sports. We just talked with Aaron Larsoul, who says, I guess he's in the minority among his Laker friends. He thinks LeBron should get a statue. Is that right, Jay? He said he's for it, but
he said he was the GOAT.
Yeah. And I assume all Laker fans are down with my LeBron holding the asterisk. That would be nice. And thank you, Drape. Seriously, thank you for sending that hilarious picture of the banners there at Crypto. And then they got the little in-season.
They got the little in-season, like, you know, I don't need. It looks like a pendant almost, you know, just like, you know, when I first looked at it, because I looked up there and I looked at the banners and I thought it was the what's the L.A. soccer team? LAFC.
Oh, Galaxy.
LAFC.
Chivas. Right.
Colors. Yeah. And I'm like, OK, that's what that's for. And I was like, oh, snap, that's the in-season tournament championship banner. I told you guys the other day, I think it was you, Whitey, I told you, go to LeBron's basketball reference page. It's right at the top. A list of awards, in-season tournament MVP.
Yeah.
And so it's a thing, man.
Question for both of you. I know this, the fact that if the Sacramento Kings would have won the IST, no doubt they would have raised that banner. But personally, if you were the end-all, be-all, and the Kings won that banner, would you post it to the rafters, Whitey?
Not the rafters, but I'd want to post it somewhere, probably in the men's room.
Oh, that's
it. So I'd have it so people can see it.
He's lying.
Okay, Drapes, are you posting the IST?
Yes, I would. And here's why. Let me tell you, because I've thought about this, Jay. It depends on your franchise. If you're the Lakers, you got 17 other banners. Maybe not, you know. But if you're the Kings, or if you're the somebody that hasn't won, the Orlando Magic or something, yeah, it's a source of pride. Yes, I would do it. But you're the Lakers. Like,
I mean, to the rafters, though. Like, I understand if you put it in the hall, on the concourse, you know, something of that nature. Yeah. You're saying you're raising it to the roof.
We should tweet it, Kyle, if you, and maybe you don't have time, maybe Jay can or I can, tweet
because
it's so funny because you've got the glorious golden world championship banners and then this little black thing that just looks like it doesn't belong up there.
Let me say
looks
this.
Like they got named, like, you know, best pretzels in the NBA or something, an award for
maybe.
That.
Maybe. But let me ask you this, though. The NBA championship, the first year, do you think back in 1947, 48 or whatever it was, they were like, nah, don't hang it up high. You know, it doesn't mean much. But 20 years down the line, 30 years. Who knows? The in-season tournament in 30 years might really be something. So should we wait till then?
We still have it. We can always move it if we have
dust
to.
Dust it off and then hang it
I'm
up.
I'm putting it high in the men's room. Okay. It's not like people can grab it or anything.
You guys are just – you're just doing that because the Lakers won it. If it was the Milwaukee Bucks and they did it, nobody would care. But because it's the Lakers, they got that's what I'm talking about. They got all these other real banners.
That's why it looks so ridiculous.
But if you're a franchise that hasn't won,
I would
do it. Yes.
So then why aren't we posting like Summer League championship banners?
Nah, it's not the same, though, Jay. You know, come on,
come on, man. That's
Summer League, the players on the Summer League don't even play in the NBA. Like, that is different. Like, these are actual NBA players. Like, these are, you know, LeBron's playing. Darren's playing, Tyrese, like, these are real games. And so, come on, man. Jay, you're doing that.
I didn't even give him a ring, man. You heard Aaron say they gave him a pendant.
Because.
A pendant, brother. Like, the same thing you get as being one of the first 10,000 when you enter the arena.
They gave him a catalog, and they had a choice. You can have a pendant. You can have a nice pen set. Or you could have a Wi-Fi speaker, Bluetooth.
That's Finger Hut. Remember Finger Hut? That's a Finger Hut.
I remember that. Oh, my gosh. You guys are terrible,
and the players got
man.
To pick. Yeah.
Hey, so that. And you get 500 grand?
Yeah.
Sign me up. Sign me. I'll go all out for the in-season tournament right now. Mm-hmm. Banner, pendant, and check. give it to me all. Come on.
I was just talking with Jay about this. I'm really curious. I'm not crossing any lines, approaching any lines. Drapes, why do you think more people are not talking about what KG said about LeBron? And for those who didn't hear, KG was on a podcast talking to Paul Pierce. They were talking about Bronny and Father Time and could Bronny score on LeBron. Back and forth they went, and KG said, well, LeBron's on Balco. He might have said the new Balco. Anyway, he basically said, LeBron's on PEDs. Was he joking? It's not clear. He said it. No one's talking about it. Should anyone even be talking about that?
I don't know, to be honest. I know KG, and sometimes he says things that may be true. Sometimes it's like if
a reputable journalist would have said it, would we be taking him, or is it just KG being KG?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, and what can you say about that? Like, what can we really be talking about unless somebody has some hard evidence?
Yeah.
Are we talking about what KG said? Like,
right.
I don't know. I mean, and those are some damning accusations, too. It's not like just, this guy has eat spaghetti for breakfast, and what are you doing eating spaghetti? No, this is like indicting your career, you know. And so I don't know.
I really think, and I have no idea whether he is or not. Who knows? But I think if he were, the NBA for the most part would be like, yeah, we don't want to know. You know, for all he represents, and I think that's one reason why no one's going to look into this, follow it up, and I'm fine with that too. It's like, maybe he is. I don't know. I have no evidence that he is. So why do we want to ruin, you know, the NBA certainly doesn't want to ruin LeBron and all that he stands for. So, and I think fans for the most part too are, they're much more tolerant than they used to be. It's not
right.
Like the old days.
It is
like,
a different
era. Yeah. He what? Now it's like, okay.
100% a different era. This isn't 25, 30 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
When you're like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't know. This is a touchy one because I don't know what to say about it, you know?
Do you want to hear the clip or not?
No, I heard it. You can.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to play it for the listeners.
I actually haven't heard it yet. Yeah, so Jay found it. This is what KG said about LeBron.
I'm talking about.
You can get a bucket on.
No.
Man, come on. That little dude explosive, bro.
He is, but you seen his dad? His dad on that Balco.
Yeah,
he on that new juice.
He ain't sliding like he used to.
His dad's on that Balco. He's on that new juice. That was KG and Paul Pierce. Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm not trying to say, hey, you know what? I'm just saying it's interesting. No one's really talking about this. And there was a time when I think it would have been a bigger story. I'm fine that we're just going to let it go because I think for the most part, most of us now – don't really care that much. Maybe I'm wrong. Drapes, that's what it seems to me.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, and it's, you know, I don't even know what to say about it, Whitey, to be honest with you. I don't know what
to
add to
this. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I just think for the most part, yeah, it's a play on. If nothing else, it's a play on. When we come right back here, does Mike Brown have anything to prove the rest of this season starting tonight in L.A.? It's coming up here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.